The following is a presentation of Glad Tidings, a gospel community on a mission to love.
I want to talk about our physical health, moving from stressed to blessed. The way to do that is not to buy a fidget cube. I'm saying there is a better way, all right? And it's not going to cost you $19.99. It will cost you your life, though. That's the difference. But then Jesus gives our life back and so much more. And the more is in the day-to-day journey of experiencing a God who created the heavens and the earth, who loved us so much, that wants to have a personal relationship with us, that he was willing to sacrifice his own son. Forget anything of value that you can imagine on this planet. It was Jesus that God gave so that you and I could be in relationship with him. This is how much God loves you. It's outlandish love. And I want to talk about this morning because God has a lot to say about our physical health. Did you know that God cares about your body? Did you know that? I want you to read this verse with me. Let's put up the verse of the week. It's 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. We're going to read this together out loud. I'm going to count to three, and then we'll just read it together out loud, okay? On three. One, two, three. Do you not know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. All right, well done. You may be seated. That is a really significant truth. You were bought at a price. That price, as I mentioned already, was Jesus dying on a cross. Why don't you turn to someone right next to you and just say, I'm expensive. It's true. It's true. A huge price was paid for your life. Do you know a huge price was paid for the lives of people who have yet to realize that truth, who have yet to come to a place of understanding to say, oh my goodness, God would do that for me? I thought he was angry with me. I thought God wanted to punish me. I thought God had it out for me because it seems like everything is going wrong in my life. You mean God loves me that much? He thinks I'm expensive? He thinks I'm valuable? He thinks I'm worth dying for? What kind of a God is this? What kind of a love is this? Well, I want to look at the effect of stress on your body. And what the Bible says is the antidote to the most common stresses in your life. I want to mention seven of them. I'm going to put them up on the screen. The seven most common stresses or sources of stress in your life. The first one is worry. You know, there's always more to worry about. And in fact, in the world we live in now, with identity theft, lose your passport and see how significant that is and how much you have to worry to try and get that back and then try to prove who you are. And there's just so much to worry about with the world seemingly getting smaller and with violence seemingly increasing. And, you know, just turn on the news for 10 minutes and they'll give you something to worry about if you have nothing to worry about. It's a huge stressor. The second one is hurry. Hurry. The world is moving faster and faster, and speed creates stress. I just experienced that not too long ago. I went skiing at Whistler with my son, and everything was fine on the way up. You know, the gondolas have a pretty decent speed, and everything was cool. It was the way down that was a little stressful, and especially when we hit these places where it had these two little black diamonds, and we didn't know the difference between one or two and a blue circle and green, and we learned really quick because you go down one of those black diamonds, and It's exhilarating at the bottom when you realize I have every part of my body still. You know, I didn't break a bone. This is awesome. Let's do it again, you know, but you're a little bit more hesitant. Well, hurry and speed really gives us stress. Number three, crowds. We're living in an urbanized world. People are moving to cities. 83% of America lives in cities. Cities like Mumbai, India, have 35 million people just in one city. The population of all of Canada, I think, is less than that. I don't know, maybe it's 36. I'm not sure. Just this idea of crowdedness creates stress. There's people everywhere you go, and traffic jams. I mean, my goodness, you know, the traffic alone is enough to stress you out. Number four, multiple choices. We live in a world with many choices, and we think it's more freeing. You know, I can choose anything. Well, just go into Walmart or whatever your favorite store is and try to buy a deodorant. You know, it's like, I don't need 15 different kinds of deodorant. I just need one. Thank you. Lowest price. That's good. You know, but no, I spend 5 minutes trying to go, well, what's the difference between this one and that one? They all look the same. Oh, that's pretty packaging. Oh, the scent of fresh breeze. You know, that's what I need, you know? Like, it's just ridiculous. The multiple choices that we have in this world can actually create huge stress. Number five, loss of privacy. You know, any kind of loss is stressful, but you know, you realize that people are tracking your purchases. When you're on Google, did you know that your Google search and my Google search can be completely different depending on the patterns of our searches? So we can look up the exact same thing, you know, put in the exact same phrase, but what comes up on my screen and what comes up on your screen will be completely different. We've tried that. I've tested it. It's true. There was a speaker that came to my children's school this past week who is an expert in this area of tracking data. He's kind of like this, this Jason Bourne espionage of the Google world, you know, of like internet world. He was showing students snapshots that they had taken on their phones. He was in front talking to the students, and they weren't believing what he was saying. So he says, all right, he brought up a couple things, and he says, and he mentioned a couple of things. He says, does anyone take a picture of this? Okay, come on up. He confirmed it. You know, I wasn't there. I was told this by my daughter and my son. The amount of information this man could track through any kind of internet source or search was absolutely scary. I mean, it's astounding. The loss of privacy can actually be stressful. Now, if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. You know, but it's just the fact that you know, there's someone watching you can be really stressful. Number six, pluralism. This idea that we live in a world filled with a billion different belief systems and convictions, and technology has allowed the globe and the access to this information to shrink at such a rapid pace, and it's so incredibly accessible that anywhere in the world now, you're bombarded second by second with a variety of different opinions and worldviews, and it can actually become stressful to try and sort it all out and figure out, well, whose opinion is right? Well, this person says they're like me, but they have a completely different opinion, and this person says they're a Christian, but they believe a completely different thing than I do, and you know, it can actually create confusion and stress. And then number seven, fear of the future. You know, the what ifs in life. And for some people, like you've become really good at this. You've become expert at, you know, the what ifs. You know, what if this happens? Well, what if that doesn't happen? Well, what if we get two of those instead of one? And what, you know, and you're just looking at every scenario, and maybe because there are so many options and there is so much confusion, there's just too many what ifs. And the fear of the future, what will happen tomorrow, can really, really stress us out. Well, turn to your Bibles in Psalm 23, and I want to take a little Sunday morning walk together through Psalm 23, these six powerful verses, and in this psalm we can find a biblical model for stress management, all right? Each of these six verses has something to teach us about healthy living, and I want to begin with the first one, if you want to lower your stress, you need to look to God to meet your needs. This is the antidote to worry. Worry is always asking, will I have what I need when I need it? Will I have what I need when I need it? There's that sense of worry that can kind of stir up your soul and make you feel anxious. You know, whenever you expect someone else to meet your need instead of God, you will be disappointed. What you need to do is you need to stop putting your security in things that you can lose. You know, you might lose your job. If you put your security in your job and you lose your job, then what do? Or you might put your security in your marriage. And then somehow, either your spouse dies, or maybe you go through a tragic divorce. And then you start asking yourself, well, who am I anyway? And you have this incredible crisis, and then maybe you relied on that person in a way that you shouldn't have relied on because you were expecting them to meet your needs. Or maybe it's your money. And if we're honest, probably a lot of us look to our money as our source of security instead of putting our faith and trust in God, who gives us all things that we need in order to fulfill the purpose for which he created us on this earth. So what are you going to do when those things disappear? Well, if you had already put your security in God, you can never lose your relationship to Christ. Unless you choose to throw it away, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you will always have that sure foundation, that solid rock upon which you can stand. And when it seems like everything else around you is sinking like sand and people are just, you know, being caught under by the flood of debt and there's discouragement and depression and all this stuff all around you and fear is all around you, you can stand secure on the solid rock. And by God's grace, he'll give you the strength and the wisdom, not only for yourself to be secure, but for you to reach down and pull someone else up and say, come on, we can do this together. Let's follow God. Let's put God first in our lives. Let's give him the glory he deserves. He's the one who made us. It would make sense for us to just find out what he thinks about life, what he thinks about our purpose in life is, and maybe how we should be spending our time and our money and our talents and our resources. Come on, we can do this together. And we can encourage another life to be saved, another life to be built up and encouraged. Here's what Romans 8:32 says. Since he did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us all, won't he also surely give us everything else? You catch the logic in that? You know, if God loved you enough to send Jesus to die on the cross, don't you think he loves you enough to meet all your needs? Here's what Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, so I have all I need. That right there is the first key to lowering your stress, especially around the stress levels of worry and wondering, am I going to have what I need when I need it? And instead, you can just say, Jesus, you're my shepherd. You're the one that's going to lead me. You're the one that's going to guide me. If I need more, you'll give more. I'm thankful for what I have because I have all that I need. And we can trust him. And what is that? That's actually worship. What I just did right there, that's worship. So in a time of worry, you worship. And you just look to who God is, not to what your problem is. And you set your eyes on Jesus, who will lead you into good places. And that's the first step in stress reduction. It's worship. And you don't need a stress cube for that. And you don't need a bottle for that, and you don't need a pill for that, and you don't need the comfort of people around you for that, though people around you, the right ones, can lead you into a place of worship as well, right? Because they're thinking the same thing. You know, if you're going to go to someone when you're worried, You want to go to someone who knows God. Because they're not going to talk about, well, you know, Dr. So-and-so said this, and Mrs. What's-her-name said that, and, you know, I heard, and I read it in a book, and they're going to say, you know what? Here's who God is. And once you know who God is, your heart is enlarged. Your mind is open to receiving His grace and His power to actually overcome your worries. And it's an amazing antidote, and it's the first way that you can lower your stress levels if you'll stop looking to others and you'll start worshiping God. Number two, I want to just mention this one. It's really, really important. Of the five that I'm going to mention, this one I think is something that we have to work hard at. Now, this is interesting. I just said we're going to work hard at what? At resting. Imagine that. We live in a culture where we have to work hard to rest in obedience to God. Here's the thing. So much of our stress in life comes from always being in a hurry. Right? We're overworked. We're overcommitted. We feel like we're not doing enough. We're never getting caught up. There's not enough time in the day to do it all. Just out of a show of hands, how many people say, yeah, I feel like that? Is there anyone here like that? Yeah. Come on. I mean, like, it's just the world we live in. Again, we're trying to keep up. You know, I don't know about you, but I can't keep up with Facebook. For the longest time, I feel like, wait a minute, I just missed 15 posts, you know, and you got to scroll down, and by the time you scroll down, there's like 10 more, you know, and it's like, I just get stressed out by that. It's just so much hurry, and so the pace is overwhelming. Well, Psalm 23:2 says, He makes me lie down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. It's very important that we obey God's instructions about rest. You see, if God wanted to, He could have created us without the need to sleep. You ever thought about that? But there's something important. Why did He create us this way? You know, we'll spend one-third of our life sleeping. Unless you're a teenager, then it's two-thirds. But for the rest of us, it's, well, one-third of your life. Like, what a waste of time, we would think. Some of us would think, the really, you know, type A productive types. But no. God says, no, this is important. Even God rested on the seventh day after working the first six. Now you got some people, they're working three. You know, they want to rest, you know, 5 days and work two. You know, that's a problem. What I'm talking to is the people that are trying to work 7 days. They're in such a hurry to get everything done, trying to get ahead and trying to get caught up and pay the bills and, you know, actually afford a house in Vancouver. I understand your pain. I'm just saying that God says there's something to be gained by taking 1 day of rest. He did it and He didn't need it. So why did He do it? Because He wanted to model to us that this is the cycle and the rhythm. He created us for that. We are not the Energizer bunny. We're not the Energizer bunny. You know, you just put fresh batteries in and keeps going. No, we need to get into the cycle and flow of the way God created us, the rhythms of creation. Your 1 day of rest will bless the rest. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, and I will give you rest. All of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke, let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now, what are we supposed to do on our day of rest? I don't know if you ever thought about this, but here's three things I want to suggest that we're supposed to do, according to God's word, on our day of rest. The first thing is rest your body. Really, it's okay. It's okay to sleep. It's okay not to turn on your computer or turn on your iPhone at least for half a day. Okay, just start there, all right? Withdrawal. You don't want to go through withdrawal. You want to rest. You want to sleep. There's something, when I grew up in a church setting. It was a Pentecostal setting, and it would be kind of a common thing for us to have a snooze in the afternoon after the church service, because then we would go back at night. And we would call that the Pentecostal snooze. It was really anointed by God, I'm telling you. It was a beautiful thing, and it was part of God's rhythm. It was part of what He wants for His people. The second thing is refocus your spirit. You know, there's so many distractions throughout the week. There's so many things that vie for our attention, that grab for our attention, that can actually pollute us if we allow them to just by being in the world. So when you come into a setting like this and you start singing songs, even if you don't know the songs, that act of singing actually physically changes your body. They've proven it to be true. There's researchers that have done this research on singing, not just on your own, but with a group of people, and how it elevates certain chemicals in your body that actually create happiness, and it lifts your spirit. And that is if you're not focused on, well, I don't want to sing that song. You know, I wish they would sing this other song. Why do we have to sing that song 15 times? Who cares? Just worship God. You know, just open your mouth and just open your heart and just start worshiping God. And you'll be amazed how much joy comes into your soul and how the stress levels start going down. The third thing you're supposed to do on your day off is recharge your emotions. Recharge your emotions. Now, different things recharge different people. So you need to do something that restores you, whether it's a hobby or some kind of a sport or a walk in the woods or going by the ocean. Thank God we live by one. You know, you don't have to take an airplane to one. You know, sharing a meal, a simple meal with some friends after you've done some rest, after you've worshiped God. You know, it sounds like a good Sunday, doesn't it? Now, not everybody's Sabbath can be on a Sunday. Sometimes, for instance, this is a work day for me. And so Monday is supposed to be my day off. Supposed to be my day off. And I'm working on that. You know, I'm just working on really unplugging. I'm working on doing those three things, resting my body. I'm going to actually make that one of my goals for this entire series. And I'll get to a little bit more of that at the end. The pastor was talking to one of his congregation members, and the congregation member said to him, Pastor, I tried to get a hold of you on Monday. Like, I tried all day. Don't you answer your phone? And the pastor said, no, actually, it's my day off. And so I'm sorry I didn't answer the phone. And the congregation member said, well, you know, the devil never takes a day off. And the pastor just looked at him and said, yeah, and I would probably be more like the devil too if I didn't take a day off. There is something to be said. We need a day of rest if we want a life that is blessed. Number three, recharge your soul with beauty. You know, God made the world so beautiful. There are so many beautiful things. We live in such a beautiful province. There is such incredible beauty everywhere to be found. Have you ever wondered why you feel so close to God and nature? I know some people feel, I mean, that's their place. You know, if they want to get close to God, they just go close to nature. They hug a tree, you know, and they just feel like, oh, this is so good, you know. And I, apparently there's a lot of tree huggers in Vancouver. And I've tried it. It's actually pretty cool to hug a tree. It was too big for me to get my arms around, but it was just fun to do that. And I imagine, like, this tree is like three times my age, probably. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's just such beautiful, such majestic creation that we can behold. And there's beauty in everything God creates. The colors and the sounds of His creation are so beautiful to the soul. He made you. And you're beautiful. You're beautiful in His sight. And God takes such pleasure in just watching over you like one of His kids and just watching you resting and being free and working hard and doing everything that He created you to be, using the talents that He's given you. He takes pleasure in you. And that's something you need to realize as you recharge your soul. Psalm 23, verses 2 to 3 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I mean, just if you were to close your eyes and read that, and you picture, you can picture the lush meadows. You can picture just the the beautiful open fields, you know, just the sunshine shining down, and just maybe there's a stream that's close by, and you can hear the water kind of, you know, washing over the rocks, and it's such a beautiful, soothing sound. And it's so amazing, it's so calm, it's so quiet, and maybe there's birds singing or crickets in the air. I mean, it just makes you feel calm just thinking about it, doesn't it? Now, what if I was to say to you, close your eyes and picture the Lion's Gate Bridge at 5 o'clock on Friday? I mean, you just get stressed thinking about that, don't you? You know, or the Port Man, or the Maryhill Bypass at 9 in the morning when you're trying to get to work, you know? I mean, it's just stressful. You need to add beauty into your life. And here's three simple ways that you can do this. The first thing is get outside every day. It's so easy, again, for our world to be isolated, for everything to be contained. We think we have access to the world because we can go through it through some electronic gadget, but we weren't created for that. We weren't created for connection with a gadget. We were created for connection with God. And the things that He creates points to God. They are not God, but they point to God. And they're made in His image as well, not to the level of humans, but His creation is so beautiful. I say this, touch something green and alive. You know, and I know you maybe have a plant in your house, and you've got the gadget in one hand, and you're going to remember this, touch something green, and you're going to reach out and touch a plant and go, there, I did it. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. You got to physically get up and get outside and get in touch with God's creation and remind yourself, I wasn't created for concrete, right? I was created for a garden. When God had me in mind, when He had humanity in mind, He put us in a garden. We don't ever want to lose that. Number two, start the day with God, not with media. I'm telling you, I can't tell you the number of times when I have failed to do that. And I've gotten into my office at home, and, you know, as I'm turning on the computer and waiting for it to boot up, you know, it takes all of 2 seconds. I might offer a prayer up to God. Thank you, God, for this day. This is so amazing. And you know, the computer comes on, and I'm on it because I'm thinking already. I woke up with a thought, oh, boy, I've got to get this done, or I've got to get this email out, or I wonder if so-and-so responded to this, and I'm on the computer, and by the time 9:30 rolls around, I am so agitated, and I am so frustrated, and I feel like, what is going on? It's something you sense in your soul, and you know there's something not right. And it's because I've chosen to pick up my phone or go to my computer instead of picking up my Bible. And did you know the first 7 minutes of your day will set the mood for the rest of the day? Now, you can change your mood throughout the day, like at 9:30 when I repent and then get on my knees and say, oh, God, I'm sorry. And then I start to, you know, get connected with Him. But I'm just saying that's a great way to surround yourself with beauty. Get into God's Word. Number three, surround yourself with beauty. Whether it's art or music or rocks or plants, just looking at beauty, listening to beautiful sounds will lower your stress levels. I love this quote from Martin Luther, if you could put it up for me. He says, beautiful music is the art of the prophets that can calm the agitations of the soul. It is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents that God has given us. That's one of the reasons why we started the Aspire Music Academy. We just so believe in the gift of music and how it does something to lower our stress levels, but more importantly, music connects us to God in a very special way. And I just encourage you to just either listen to music and good music that will actually not agitate your soul, but calm your soul, and that would worship God. And you'll find that your stress levels will go down. Number four, trust God to guide you in the dark valleys. This deals with the stress levels of loss. You know, whenever we go through a loss, whatever kind of loss it is, there's usually two main reactions. Number one is fear. Number two is grief. And grief is good, but fear is bad. And I know it sounds really simple, but it is. It really, really is. Did you know that even God grieves? Grieving is a God-given emotion that helps us get through the changes and the transitions in our life. It's really important. Psychologically, it's important. Physically, it's important. Grieving will help you walk through the valley of loss so that you can start climbing the mountain of joy again. Did you know that if you don't properly grieve, you will be stuck at the foot of the mountain and you will remain emotionally, you will be stuck in that place of loss. I see so many people in our day that have not learned, especially Christians, because they think they've bought this lie that they always have to be up, you know, all the time. And they're not allowed to grieve. Just read through the Psalms again. Just read through Lamentations again. There's a whole book of grieving or lamenting, right? This is an important part of who we are as human beings. But we don't grieve as those that are without hope. We don't grieve as though we'll forever be lost and what we have lost is going to shipwreck us for the rest of our life. No, we grieve with a godly understanding that He will lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake in verse 3 and 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Some of you are going through that valley of the shadow. It may not be a death of a loved one, but it may be the shadow of debt. Or maybe it's the shadow of depression. Or maybe it's just the shadow of discouragement. You have been living in that shadow for so long. And you know, shadows can actually be scary. They can seem larger than life. They can seem real. But I just want to remind you this morning that shadows can't hurt you. You know, if a truck goes by and hits you, it will kill you, but the shadow will do nothing to you. And shadows actually are always bigger than its source. And shadows are meant to make the source of your problem look bigger. But you can actually, the good news is that you can actually get rid of those shadows if you will shine light on that situation. Did you know one of the ways God is described in the Bible, it's in the book of James, is He's described as the Father of lights in whom there is no shadow or turning. It's pure light. And so when we turn our back on the shadow and we put our face towards the light, the shadow disappears and it gets smaller. And that's the way we do it, is we keep our eyes on Jesus, the light of the world, and the shadows suddenly just start to fade away. God will guide you on that path, and He will guide you on the path that is for your good and for His glory. Number 5, I want to leave you with this last one. Let God be your revenger and your rewarder. Man, this is so important to reduce stress level in your life. Let God be your revenger. Let God be your rewarder. Some of the greatest stress points in our life come from relational conflict. Conflict. There are people who don't like you, even though you've done nothing to wrong them. It can be the people you work with. It might be an extended family member. And it would seem that these are the people that God has placed in your life to criticize your every move. You will never do anything right in their sight, and their job is to remind you of it every day. I like what Abraham Lincoln says. Just put up the quote for me. He says, "In the face of intense and cruel criticism, let us do nothing through passion and ill temper. Neither let us be slandered from our duty by false accusations against ourselves. But let us have faith, and in that faith, let us to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it. Can you hear the resolve in that? Can you hear who he's putting his faith in and what he's trusting in? Can you see the amount of focus and surrender in those simple words? Psalm 23, verses 5 to 6, the last two verses of that psalm says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." You know, you can say those words, but it takes a lot of faith to trust God in the presence of your enemies. When you're under attack, everything inside of you wants to stand up from the table and start a food fight. You don't want to just sit there and, you know, just kind of keep eating your steak. No, you don't even feel like eating. You lose your appetite. Like, you just, some of you don't even feel like going on. Like, you just want to walk away. And here we see this psalmist, the person who wrote these words, he's got a vision. He's got a picture that God has given to him about a feast that has been prepared for him. I find that interesting because everything naturally, everything inside of you wants to do something to get revenge. But then we see Jesus as our model. And we see him, how he responded when he was under attack. Think about it. They called him a drunk. They called him a glutton. They called him a false prophet. They said he was a wicked leader. At some point, they even said he was the devil himself. This was not coming from those who were furthest away from God, as we would define them. This was those religious folks. This is the ones who claimed to know God, that Jesus consistently went after. In fact, he wouldn't rebuke the weak. He would rebuke those religious ones. And he never got them back. Even as he was going to the cross, his response to his attackers was, "Don't hold it against them, God. Forgive them. For they really don't know what they're doing." See, when you respond to criticism like Christ, you actually gain a blessing. Did you know that? This is what Jesus says. He says, God blesses you when people mock you, when they persecute you, when they lie about you, when they say all sorts of evil things against you, because you are my followers. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. How can I enjoy the feast in the midst of my enemies? How can I remain silent and not respond and do what everything inside of me wants to do? How can I actually thank? This is the next level of faith. You know, if you've got the silent part good, go to the next level. Jesus says we're supposed to be rejoicing and be glad. We're actually to thank God for our enemies. Why? Because we gain a blessing. Whenever we respond like Christ in the midst of our enemies, we gain a blessing. So we can actually say, "Thank you, Lord. That didn't feel good, by the way, God. I didn't really like that. Can we not do that again?" But thank you, Lord, for the blessing that comes from being more like you. We can actually be more blessed than stressed. If we will keep in mind these five things that I just summarized, I'm going to summarize for you. I just went through. Number one, if you will look to God to meet your needs, if you will obey God's instructions to rest and to worship him every week, if you will find a way to recharge your soul with beauty, if you will trust God to guide you in the dark valleys, if you will let God be your revenger and your rewarder, you will go from more stressed to being more blessed. And you will be much less stressed in your life. For a lot of you, that is going to take the faith that you never thought you had. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to make my Sabbath a day of rest, of refocusing and recharging. And I'm going to trust that that day of rest will be blessed, that every other day will be blessed as I honor God.
Thank you for listening to this message from our weekly gathering in Vancouver. To find ways you can join us on our mission to love, please visit our website at gtchurch.ca.